You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 364, entitled Stuff Happens, Adapt and Move On. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, the comments, and the feedback that you guys continually send through each and every week. I really do appreciate that. And also, just a note, as I mentioned last week, working through a lot of those DMs and those YouTube comments and starting to make a dent in it. So if you haven't already received a reply to your questions or comments, then just hang on and I will hopefully get to yours shortly. This past weekend, a lot of celebrations going on for those in my audience who are Canadian or in Canada. Happy Canada Day to you all. Belated Canada Day, I guess you could say now. And to all of the American listeners, happy 4th of July for all of you guys. Hopefully everybody had a great holiday weekend and had an opportunity to enjoy some time with friends and maybe have a cookout, some barbecues, things like that, and put your feet up for a quick minute or two before the next week rolls through here, and we get all right back into it. I got to spend the holiday weekend in the United States at my recreational property there in Washington State. And it was like a breath of fresh air. The sunshine was shining, so that was a nice change there to be able to get there and enjoy the sun. And with that, I decided to do some work around the property there, in collecting some wood. I hadn't collected any and chopped any firewood and stuff like that, and there was an area out sort of in the back part of the park that I'm a part of. And there was a whole bunch of trees that had been taken down, and they were there for anybody who needed firewood. So I decided to take the Milwaukee M18 battery chainsaw with me to go and cut up some of these logs into pieces that I would be perfect size pieces to chop. Into some firewood to get it, dried out and seasoned. And so I went out there, got the 12 amp hour battery with the Milwaukee chainsaw. And I have to say that, again, I'm just so impressed with that Milwaukee stuff. Now, they did send me that chainsaw. As a sort of a disclaimer, I will say they did send me that chainsaw. But that was a few years ago now, and they don't sponsor me, they don't pay me anything, and I just have to say, like, every time you use that Milwaukee stuff, it really, genuinely, I am impressed with what they are doing with just 18 volt batteries, compared to a lot of the competition and stuff. But like I said, that Milwaukee chainsaw, again, I was able to cut a whole bunch of trees, and these are trees that are like between, some of them were maybe, some of the smaller ones I would say were probably 8 to 10 inches round, to the big ones were, the biggest ones that I was attempting were maybe 12 to 14 inches round. It was just going through them like butter. The other impressive thing is I did a video on that Milwaukee chainsaw when I first got it a couple years ago. You can find that on my YouTube channel if you're interested in checking it out. But it was at my recreational property. Did sort of a demonstration showing how easy the Milwaukee chainsaw goes through, a large log like that. But when I did that, I did sort of the exact same thing that I did this past weekend, where I just went through a whole bunch of trees and cut up a whole bunch of logs, and then, you know, used an axe and chopped it all for firewood and stuff like that. And that's the firewood I had been using at the property until this point. Of course, with the pandemic and stuff, the border closed and things like that. So wood that I processed back at that time, I don't know if that was like 2018 or something when I did that, lasted a little bit longer because we're now, 2022, because nobody was there using it. So when we got out there, started to use the firewood and stuff, and seeing that, should probably get some more processed and stuff. But the point of that is when I did all of that initial firewood with that Milwaukee chainsaw back in 2018, like I said, I cut a whole bunch of logs down with it, processed a whole bunch of firewood. And then, this past weekend went out there, and I'm still using the exact same chain from when I got it. I haven't sharpened the chain, hadn't replaced the chain, and still was able to get through a whole load of logs to cut down and get ready for, splitting with an axe. And subsequently did that and processed probably about a third of the logs, chopped it all into, firewood, pieces. But yeah, Milwaukee is just amazing. I finally, went for the last load. I had the truck loaded up some logs. I still had a bit more room in the truck. And then finally, chainsaw chain started to show signs that it was calling it quits. It started I could feel that it was taking much longer to cut the last couple logs, and then the last one I attempted, I could see a bit of smoke starting as it was trying to cut. So I was like, okay, I better stop now before I ruin the chain. While it's still salvageable and still sharpened, I can still sharpen it and stuff. But yeah, I was just amazed to be able to use it back in 2018 for a whole load of firewood, cutting down logs and all that sort of stuff. And then again here, doing a whole bunch of logs. I posted a picture on my Instagram and showed the firewood and stuff, and sort of the dent I made with what I had got started chopping and stuff. But with all of the logs kind of stacked up that I cut this time around, that's on that same chain. So yeah, just amazing. And also the life of the battery, on a charge, to be able to cut all those logs on a single charge is pretty amazing. And I was always checking the bars on the battery because I didn't want to get sort of stuck, going through like a 14 inch log and then have the battery die on me, because I only had the one battery. I only have the one 12 amp hour battery. So I didn't want to get stuck sort of halfway through and then not be able to get the chainsaw out of the log or anything. So I was always checking it, and I quit always around like the one bar mark. So when we'd get to the one bar mark, I'd be like, okay, let's call it quits and stuff. But it was like amazing, like how much I would fill the truck, the back of the truck, with logs all cut up, ready for splitting. And it's just a really, I think, a really good investment. If you need a chainsaw, but you're in a situation like me where, you might use it occasionally at work, and just for, tasks around the house occasionally that you might need a chainsaw, like, maybe around Christmas time and you get a Christmas tree or something like that, just occasional things here and there. The battery chainsaw has been great because it can sit, for extended periods of time. And it doesn't make a difference, unlike a gas chainsaw where, if it sits around for a while, more than a few months and stuff, you go to use it, and then it's always a pain to get started. The carburetor gums up and all that stuff, and it can take you so much longer to even get the thing started than, what you actually need a cut for. Where, with a battery chainsaw, there's none of that, right? You just make sure you charge the battery and pop it in there, and you're good to go. And with me, it works perfect because I'm always using that 12 amp hour battery now, especially this year, with the Milwaukee blower. So I'm using that day to day. So it's always being charged on a day to day basis, and ready to go. So it was awesome to just load up the chainsaw and grab the battery off the charger, and it was ready to go, and be able to go and take that with me to the property and get all that firewood figured out and processed. So that was great. Super impressed with it. I'm going to look for a file that I can use to sharpen that Milwaukee chainsaw blade, but I'm also going to pick up a second chain as well, just to have a second one there that I can swap between the two, if I need to get through something like that where I need to process a bunch more firewood and stuff, because there's so many trees that were down and available for firewood that they had there that I wouldn't mind the next time I'm up at the property going to that area again and cutting a whole bunch more logs and getting it ready for the future with some stocking up the firewood. So on that note, like I said, if you guys are looking for a chainsaw, I would highly recommend the Milwaukee one. Obviously not, maybe not something if you're using a chainsaw daily. You might be better off with a gas one. If you're an arborist and stuff, although I'm sure, in the future, I wouldn't be surprised if battery chainsaws become the norm as well for arborists and things like that. But in the lawn care business, like I say, it's a perfect chainsaw to have. If you just need one for that occasional job, or maybe a customer wants you to take down a tree or something like that, small sort of projects and things like that, and you're maybe your own personal use and stuff like that, that Milwaukee chainsaw is, a great investment. It has, not let me down, for the bunch of times that I've used it since 2018. Just awesome. So I'm just going to play this week's podcast sponsor ad, and then we'll get into this week's episode right after this. So stay tuned.
Summer showers, dust that chokes, acres that just won't end. Exmark knows the job of a landscape professional isn't an easy one. That's why we've crafted a legendary line of mowers built to overcome any obstacle, so you're ready to close the deal and finish the job, like you always do. Cut from the same red metal as your Exmark mower, you aren't just good at this. You were built for this.
Okay, so this week I wanted to talk about, as the show title says, stuff happens, adapt and move on. And basically, I talk a lot about in different episodes and share a lot about what works in lawn care, the things that I've used to be successful and, in all different aspects of the lawn care business over the years. But it's also good to talk about the mistakes you make in lawn care, and because it's inevitably going to happen, that you're going to make mistakes, that you're going to miss things, that stuff is going to seemingly go wrong for you, and that, it can be discouraging at times. It can take a toll on you depending on how severe, whatever happens. But you just have to not dwell on it. You have to, if possible, adapt and find a different solution and move on. So this past week, just before the holiday weekend, on the Thursday, and for me here in Canada, our Canada Day, it was on the Friday, July 1st. So I had Friday off, was going to, go to the recreational property, as I mentioned, there in the opening. We were going to leave on Thursday evening. So, I was working up to Thursday. Thursday evening was, Thursday was my last day of work for last week. And it was, in the morning, I loaded up the Exmark Navigator. Went to go do a bunch of my lawns. Everything was going smoothly. The first bunch of lawns that I do was all with the Exmark Commercial 30. And then I start to do some of the bigger properties, usually end my Thursdays with the big commercial property. So I went out to do the first property, and I had planned on actually taking the drone out there as well, because I wanted to get some drone footage of the particular property with me using the Navigator. I thought it would be cool to share on social media. I had taken the drone out last summer as well when I got the Navigator. But by the time I got the Navigator and stuff, the sort of that window of, green lawns where typically get, really good, heavy growth, lush green looking lawns in the spring. But I got the Navigator late in the summer. In August. So by the time that rolled around, the weather's still good, but it had been hot already. So most of the lawns were already drying out and stuff. So I got a lot of drone footage last year, but when I looked at it, it was like, well, it doesn't actually look good. Like the lawns don't look good, right? They look brown and stuff in spots. It's not very, very nice footage. So I thought I'll wait till the spring and stuff. So, obviously, as you guys have heard this past year with the spring, the weather has been just crazy, so much rain and stuff. So, again, it kept pushing it back. Finally, we got some good weather, was able to, I was like, next week, the weather's supposed to hold. This was the previous week I was thinking, I'll bring the drone out and stuff. The customer of this particular property is one that knows fully everything that I do on social media, and they're totally cool with it. They even asked one day, because I was taking a bit more time, and they were asking me, I was just grabbing some photos and stuff, and they were asking me, oh, did you have the drone out today and stuff? And I said, no, but I'm actually planning on it because of that, drone footage last year didn't turn out as good and stuff. So they're totally cool with it and stuff. So I thought, okay, I'm going to bring it next week. Gave them the heads up that I'd be bringing it. And that Thursday morning, I loaded up, like I said, the Navigator and stuff. And then I went to go grab the drone and the batteries were dead. And I was like, oh, are you kidding me? Like I put this thing away with, fully charged batteries and stuff. But I guess, over the winter months and stuff like that, hadn't used it. And the batteries were all, showing like one little bar or whatever on each of them. So I was like, well, that's not good. I'm going to have to charge the battery. So, that was the first sort of indicator that it wasn't going to be, a smooth running day. Let's say that. So I thought, okay, well, it's going to have to wait till the following week for that. So, anyways, I just end up going to their property, and it was like just perfect conditions for a drone. It was blue skies and sunny, and the lawn was green and lush. And I was like, So anyways, I ended up just cutting the lawn, just doing it, thing. It looked beautiful. So I thought, okay, I'll cross my fingers next week will be, just as good. So finish that job, load up the Navigator, and then go to head to my large commercial property, which is basically, it's a commercial property now in the sense that it's an industrial type thing where there's like big rigs and stuff that go in and out of the place and stuff. But it was on originally a family farm, a working farm. So I mow around the original farmhouse that is still standing there. And the family who grew up in that farmhouse now have turned the property, I guess it's three brothers, have turned the property into a commercial business, and that's the property they use. But they still have the original farmhouse that they grew up in and stuff like that, with tire swing and all that sort of stuff, and white picket fences around, and a little cow pasture and things like that. So I mow all the lawns around that. I get to, I pull up the property, and immediately I'm like, I see a large tree had fallen, and it was on a part of the lawn. Luckily, it missed the farmhouse, because, those, that could have done some serious damage on this, what probably is an over 100-year-old house sitting on this, middle of this farm. And it was a large poplar, I think it's a poplar tree, just a massive tree. And you could see as it came down and stuff, I went to go investigate, and it had like the base of the tree, the trunk and stuff. It looked like it was like full of termites or something. It was like just rotten and holes and stuff. So I was like, wow, I'm surprised that thing was standing for so long. And it's interesting because every time I mow, there's this other tree, I think it's like an oak tree or something, that tire swing is hanging off of. And it always freaks me out going under it, because the branches are so big, and some of them are like 10 inches wide. Like, these branches are just massive, and they're going out sideways, especially the one with the tire swing on it, because the tire swing, I guess, originally was like it was a chain that they put around this branch, but then the branch grew over the years bigger and bigger, so now that tire chain is like cutting through a part of the branch, and this branch is massive, sticking out like 30 feet past where that chain is. So I'm always freaked out riding the mowers underneath, particularly this one big branch, because I'm like, that thing is a widowmaker. Like, that thing goes while I'm under there, like, that's that's pretty brutal, right? So, and there's been a couple of times, especially in the fall doing leaf cleanups and stuff like that, where you're there for an extended period of time. It takes a lot longer cleaning or mowing the lawns because of all the leaves and stuff. And, it's the fall and wind starts blowing and you can see those trees going. And it's like, man, I just want to, gives me the heebie-jeebies, man. It's like, I just want to get out of here as quick as possible because these trees are freaking me out. So anyways, I get there, and like I said, that one large tree, not one that I've, looked at before that has worried me. This time around I noticed it, obviously, because it was on the middle of the lawn and stuff. And the other thing with those poplars is about a month or so ago, there was a local story about how there's a stretch of road near where, in one of the, near the city, one of the cities I live by, and it is lined with these large poplar trees, the same as this tree here. And one of them, in a windstorm, had fallen across the road during traffic, and it landed on a car and killed the occupants. So that's always been kind of in my mind too. Like, man, those poplar trees, like, and they had some tree people, on the news talking and saying how, their tree, poplars, like the root system stuff is not very deep and stuff. So they, they are more susceptible in high winds to fall over and stuff. So that's always been kind of in my mind as well. So to see this large poplar kind of, fallen over, and subsequently, this is the week following where I was saying in previous episodes where we finally, finally we got the sunshine, but it was like so hot that like nobody wanted to go outside. It was just like this shock to the system. So after that, you start to notice like all the trees kind of losing their leaves and stuff, kind of trying to conserve water and stuff. And then, noticed a couple of areas where I've seen either branches or, trees falling and stuff like that. So I don't know if the heat had something to do with this poplar falling, but just a massive tree that fell. So anyways, I was like, okay, so what do I do? It's on the lawn, there's a bunch of debris everywhere, although most of it's contained to this one section, and there's not a lot of like It's not like there's broken branches everywhere or anything. It's all pretty much one big tree that's just fallen over. And I was like, you know what? I don't know when or, you know, when they're going to have, you know, a tree company come and take care of this. So I'll just mow around it. So I, you know, go grab the navigator off the trailer and I go do the front portions, some other lawns that I always start on first. There's two lawn sections that I do first, one along the road by the entrance to the business. So I do that one. And then there's another front lawn that I do. I do that section. And then I usually go to this back lawn, which is the largest of the lawns, before going to the other front lawns, because there's this big sort of blackberry hedge and kind of wooded area that kind of divides the property in half. And on the other half is where the original farmhouse is. And on that first half is kind of the entrance to the business. So anyways, I do that front half and then I start on the back half. I start doing the back half. It's all going good. I'm doing about, I get about a third of that back lawn done. And then, and that first third is around that tree, around the first half of the tree. I start going towards the sort of the second part of the tree or the other side of the tree. And I sort of noticed a branch. Like I kind of saw it, but it was a broken branch. It was in the lawn. It wasn't sticking out over the lawn. It looked like it was in the lawn. And, you know, in just going, there's been a lot on this property, a lot of times where there's debris and stuff that it falls off the trees and falls on the lawns. And most times I can just go right over it. I don't even bother stopping to pick it up or anything like that. I just go right over it. And most times, because of the height I'm cutting at is quite tall, it just clears right over stuff. In this case, it wasn't the case. And I'm not sure what happened, because it looked like it would be fine to clear right over. But I don't know if it maybe when I went over it with the wheel, it might have pivoted it up or whatever. But it hit the blades and it was a big enough branch where, you know, it wasn't going to get cut by the blades, you know, like a twig or something like that. So it hit the blades and, you know, I hear this big, you know, commotion coming from the mower. I go to stop the blades and, luckily on that navigator, it has that flip up deck. So I go to flip up the deck and look, and it broke all the shear pins off of the blade. So on the walkers, and the Exmark navigator, those out front mowers, they have, because that the decks on that style of out front mower is out front, it's not underneath the mower or whatever, it has a gearbox on the top of the mower, like a cast iron gearbox that drives the blades. And there's actually like a drive shaft that then connects to what would be like the tractor portion. And because, you know, with those navigators, you can actually take the deck off and swap it for, you know, a different size deck. And same with the walkers, same design where you can, you know, swap out. I think with the walkers, you've got a whole bunch of different attachments and stuff that you can put as well, besides different deck sizes. But it all connects with that sort of drive shaft that sticks out there that connects to the deck. So what they do, because it's not a belt and not pulleys, and it's actually, you know, gearboxes that are turning, so that you don't damage the gearboxes, each of the blades has like, you know, a center bolt, but the blade is kind of free there. It's not being held in place. There's then two smaller little shear bolts on either side of each blade. So each blade has two shear bolts. So basically what happens if you hit an immovable object or a large object as the blades are spinning, then those little bolts break right away. so that it doesn't damage the gearboxes. So it just shears those bolts. And those bolts are a particular design. They're like a regular bolt, but they have sort of a cut or indentation in each of the bolts, sort of a, basically an engineered weak spot in each of the little bolts, so that if that force, you know, that blade hits something that's not going to move, the gear box obviously is connected to a drive shaft, so it's still going to want to spin. So unlike a say like a 21 inch mower, like a smaller mower, typically the ones here in North America that just have the blade directly to the, you know, the crankshaft of the engine, if you hit something, you bend the crankshaft, it ruins the motor. So it's the same principle there, where on this, to avoid that, to avoid, you know, breaking that or bending that crankshaft or damaging that gearbox, the blades have those shear pins. Now, I've seen on 21 inch mowers in other countries, like in Europe and Australia and stuff, where they have that sort of same design where they'll have shear pins on there. So if you hit something, which is pretty smart, right? It breaks the little bolts and doesn't damage the motor. So these navigators and the walker mowers are the same in that regard with having those shear pins. So unfortunately, broke the shear pins. And like I said, only a third of the way into the largest lawn on the property, and still had to do, you know, the rest of that lawn plus two other front lawns as well. Like I say, it's my largest property. So, you know, especially knowing that the Navigator is not something that is very popular where I'm at. The dealers that do, the nearest dealer to me doesn't stock them. If you want one, they will order it for you. But because it's a very small market here for mowers, you know, I've talked about over the years how, you know, even stand-on mowers and stuff, we got like 4 or 5 years behind everywhere else. I'd see them on social media, on Instagram, stuff like that. It was like I'd never seen one in person for like 4 or 5 years until I saw the first one in person here. So it's a smaller market here. We don't have the selection that everybody has and all that sort of stuff. So I was like, okay, this one's going to be a bit of an issue to have, because, you know, I have, you know, vastly more popular is like the X Mark, you know, the Laser Z's and all that sort of stuff. The Big Zero Turns, I've seen plenty of those. I've even seen, you know, the walk behind mowers. I've even seen, you know, some of the stand on mowers and stuff. So being the Navigator is not something that my dealer, I've ever seen at my dealer in stock. I'm like, he's probably not going to have shear pins for this. So I was like, that's going to be, you know, a little bit of an issue because now I'm going to have to order shear pins and it's going to probably take a while. I don't know for sure because I haven't actually had a chance yet to go and look. I actually stopped by, there was actually another dealer closer to me that day. So what I ended up doing was I just loaded up the machine because I thought, okay, well, I got to get this lawn mowed. So I'm going to head back home. I'm going to swap out the Navigator for the Turf Tracer, which is what I use most of the time on this property anyways. You know, at least for the first few years mowing it until I got the Navigator. And it's a, you know, commercial property. It's one that I can side discharge and stuff, and I have done. I was using the Navigator mainly for the leaf cleanups there, and then also because it was heavy growth right now with the spring, just so those conditions, getting sunny and all the rain we've had, it was growing like crazy. I thought, you know, they never have an issue with me side discharging, but I like the look of the bagging, right? It's just so much cleaner looking. It's not bad side discharging when the growth kind of steadies and isn't as quick through most, you know, through most of the season, through the summer and all that stuff, when it kind of slows down. Then it leaves a perfectly good sort of look to the lawn with just one pass. You don't have to go over it multiple times. But at this time of year, you know, if you wanted that same look as the Navigator, you would have to cut it multiple times and stuff. Luckily, they're not worried about that. This is also a property that has a huge like compost area that I can dump clippings and stuff into. I can just drive the Navigator up to and just dump the clippings into. So that makes it a lot easier as well to use something that bags like the Navigator. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to load it up and head home, grab the turf tracer. Now, the funny thing too is in the morning, I had gassed up. I went to a gas station and filled up the Navigator to have because it was running low on fuel, and I wanted to make sure I had enough fuel to get through the jobs. Typically, I just load up the mowers and stuff. I had been, because of the price of fuel and stuff, I've been filling up as quickly as possible. Here I was kind of putting it off because just the cost of fuel and stuff. So it's funny because I filled it up in the morning. There was no issues with any of that. But, I get to the afternoon, I'm going to go home. I decide, oh, there's another dealer. I know they carry Exmark mowers. They're actually, only a couple blocks away. I'll just pop in and just by chance see if they have shear pins. So I went and I asked I asked the guy if he, by chance, do you have any shear pins for an Exmark Navigator? And he didn't even know what that was. He didn't even, because he didn't sell Walker mowers and he obviously didn't sell any Navigators before. So he didn't even know about the shear pins that I was referring to. And then he looked it up on his computer in the Exmark's, parts ordering thing. And then I pointed out, he's like, oh, I've never even seen those before sort of thing, right? He's like, oh, okay, well, no problem. So I just left and then went home, swapped out the mower for the turf tracer and checked the gas. And of course, the turf tracer was empty. And I went to look at my jerry cans and they were all empty. So I was like, I'm going to have to go get gas. And I didn't want to because, like I said, the price of gas is up, but it was a holiday weekend, right? This was that last day. And those, I'm sure you guys are all the same wherever you're at. Before a holiday weekend, the gas stations aren't giving you their best price. It's always much more expensive when they know people are going to be going on road trips and traveling and all that sort of stuff. So I was like, I'm stuck. I'm going to have to, pay more than what I would normally have to pay, even though it's already so much, so expensive to start. So I was like, okay, whatever. Got to fill it up. I need to go finish that job. So I go past the first gas station and I look and it's just like I go to drive over there and it's not a gas station I normally use because it's a small little family run independent one and not that there's anything wrong with that, but they don't have pay at the pump there. So when I do go there, I have to go inside first. I have to prepay, then come out and then, pump gas. And if you don't pump or need as much gas as you paid for, then you got to go back in, you got to get your receipt and also to get your change for what you prepaid for. It's all, it's a bit of a pain versus using just a pay at the pump. So, it was the closest one and it was on the way to that, the property. So I went there and it was packed with cars and I'm like, what the heck? Like this place is never packed with cars. So I was like, forget it. I'm not waiting. So I left and I'll go to the next one. So I went a little bit out of my way to go to a different gas station, drive all the way over there, and it's packed with cars. I'm like, what the heck? Like, gas prices are so expensive, but if obviously it was getting into the afternoon on a holiday weekend. It was the last day before everybody's probably going away for the weekend, so they're all kind of gassing up their cars and stuff, just as suspected. Of course, the prices of fuel were ridiculous. And so I was like, another one. I'm not gonna think. So I was like, there's another one down the road. So I went to the next gas station and that one was packed as well. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, I'm wasting so much time. So I decided, you know what? There's one more. It's like roundabout. Like, I'm going to be all the way back around my home area again. So I was like, you know what? Let me just go check that one. That one is one that's always expensive regardless. It's like always the most expensive in the area. So I went there to check it. And of course, it was the most expensive. But there was only one car there at the time. So I was like, okay, forget it. I'm just going to fill up here. So I went there. And at first, they all kind of looked at me strange. I could see the people in the window looking because they don't even sell diesel there. It's just gas. And I'm pulling up with the diesel truck. So they probably thought something was up until I pulled the trailer up and then started to open the back of the trailer and stuff to be able to fill them the turf tracer. I just filled the turf tracer directly there. So got that done, went to back to the property. Now I'm like, you know, almost an hour and a half or so by the time all the shenanigans are done, from the time I hit that branch to investigating what was the issue, seeing the broken shear pins, loading up the mower, going to that first dealer, trying to talk to see if they had any shear pins, and going home, unloading, loading the second one, going to four gas stations, trying to get gas for the thing, and then getting back to the commercial property, like an hour and a half had gone by here on the eve of a holiday weekend. Luckily after that, everything else went smoothly. I just did one pass of the lawn, just side discharged the rest of it. It didn't look too bad. There was some areas where it was, a little bit, thicker and stuff like that. But overall, it looked, pretty decent. I'll try to get, whenever I get the mower back up and running, I will take the Navigator back out there and get that done. But to give it, sort of a nice clean cut, to pick up any sort of clippings and stuff, because I'm sure by next week, by the time I get there, there'll be some, clippings and stuff that look brown and things from side discharging. And like I say, and over there, it's not a big deal because it's just a commercial property. They've never complained before. I've used the turf tracer for years before I got the Navigator, just side discharging it there. And there was never an issue. So I'm not too worried about that. But it's one of those things where, either just a momentary lapse of judgment, thinking that the deck would clear it because of so many times before. And also, there's been times before where, a branch falls and you go over it, but it's a branch that fell because it's super old and rotten and stuff like that. And, I've hit branches before, but they just like disintegrate, because they're just old and rotten and stuff like that. But this, because it was, a tree that fell over and stuff, even though the trunk looked pretty, pretty brutal and dried up and stuff, I guess the branch still had some thickness to it and didn't give way to the mower deck. So just one of those things, just one of those momentary lapse in judgment of just being either tired at the end of the day, of being hot, of being maybe dehydrated, who knows, of going and instead of either getting off the mower and going to pick up the branch and moving it, just thinking, it's not sticking up out of the grass. It's not a thing, right? It's probably just going to clear right over it, like I've done, many times before without any issues. And instead, it clipped it this time, and had to go, do a run around and figure it out and waste a whole bunch of time as well to sort it out. So, one of the things I've learned because, with that particular Navigator, it's been a learning experience up till now. Everything with it, with my previous experience owning the Walker mower as well, This one has performed really well. It's outdone any sort of memories I've had of the Walker in terms of wet grass and leaves, wet leaves and all that sort of stuff. It's the performance wise has been absolutely phenomenal, but it's all sort of a learning curve, right? So, now I know for the future that I better be pretty careful if something like that is in the lawn to, make sure that it's either get up and get off the mower and go figure it out or go around it or whatever the case may be and figure it out. But like I say, it's one of those times where you just have a momentary lapse of judgment where you just, you make a mistake and you got to adapt and move on. And, it's another lesson that I learned is that it's great to have a second mower that you can rely on as well, just in case, having something similarly sized. It doesn't have to be the exact size, obviously, but, if you can have, if you're just a single solo operator of your business, that Navigator for me is a 42 inch. That's the biggest mower that I have, biggest size deck sort of that I can fit in my trailer and still be able to just squeeze around. But, having that 36 inch sort of the next size down is, a great thing to have, right? To have two larger type mowers, just like, with a commercial 30, how I still have the 21 inch mowers around, even though I don't use 21 inch mowers anymore. I haven't used the 21 inch mowers ever since I got the commercial 30, and the commercial 30 has been fantastic thus far, still running the original belts and everything on it. Some people would get rid of the 21s. I've read comments from people saying, that once they got the 30 that they sold off their 21s and stuff. But, unless I get a second commercial 30, which, they're hard to come by right now with sort of supply chain issues and all that sort of stuff. I'm still keeping the 21s on standby. So I've got my Exmark commercial 21 and I still have my old Honda HRC 216. Just as sort of the standby to the standby, just in case, and for certain, particular jobs and stuff, like, power raking jobs and stuff where I like to use a 21 inch mower for bagging and cleanup, but it's, it's pretty brutal on the actual mower deck and stuff because you pick up rocks and stuff as well. So I've got the Honda as my standby for that. But it could be used to mow lawns in a pinch. If there was like multiple failures at the same time of, those other mowers, but it's just one of those things, right? You adapt, you move on, you learn, right? Luckily I had, the Exmark Turf Tracer to be able to sort of save the day, on Thursday and finish the job, and to be able to now take on the full workload, for this week, coming, forth, until I get some shear pins sourced, because of course, I could temporarily throw a couple of small bolts and stuff on the blades and stuff, but then, and get the Navigator working until shear pins came, but I don't want to risk that because obviously those shear pins that are there for a reason, and if you hit anything and you've got regular bolts on there, then, you're going to do a heck of a lot more damage. So it's not worth it to me to do that. It might be something I would have maybe risked if I didn't have, if it was like the only big mower, like when I had, back in the day, like 2007 or so, when I had just the Walker mower, and that was my big mower, and then I had the Honda HRC 21, the 216. Those were the only two mowers I had for the whole business. So if I had a 21 inch mower go down, that's all I had. I think I had at the time, I kept for a few years my 21 inch homeowner MTD mower, and I kept that for many years until I got my second Honda. Like when I finally bought a replacement Honda, then I kept the original Honda as the backup mower, and then I felt comfortable then to sell the MTD mower, the homeowner mower, Luckily, I had never needed the MTD mower, but you know, had that as my backup. But I didn't have anything to back up the Walker mower. And subsequently, when I sold the Walker and ended up using some John Deere tractors and things like that over the years as well, it was just the one John Deere tractor I would have, the 42-inch John Deere tractor, and that was it. And that's all I had. So if that mower went down, then my backup was the 21-inch mower. So I'd have to be, you know, push mowing a job. So very fortunate now to have multiple mowers that I can choose from on any given day and use for certain jobs. And, you know, that comes with just time and experience and being able to invest more back into the business over time as well, to be able to keep you know, extra equipment, and being fortunate you know, in the position where you know, I've done what I've done with social media and stuff as well, and have companies send me equipment as well, and to be able to have extra trimmers and blowers and things like that that I can have for you know, that as well. So very grateful and fortunate to have those opportunities as well in, you know, my position. So, you know, like I said, those things that you, stuff happens in your business. I've talked about lots of different things over the years that have happened to me from, you know, machines getting stuck in the mud and stuff. Particularly when I had the Walker, it would always get stuck in sort of the wet kind of conditions, and having to, you know, pull that out, you know, and figure those jobs out, driving, you know, the first time I had that Walker mower, going through somebody's fence and stuff with it, falling sort of in a little slope, kind of a ditch sort of thing, and it fell and went through a fence, and, you know, trying to get unstuck kind of made things worse, and all sorts of things. And you know, you're going to encounter stuff like that over the years, as you grow in your lawn care business, as you take on certain jobs, you know, tall grass jobs are ones that are always, you know, brutal for stuff like that. There's always stuff hidden in tall grass jobs, you know, that you're going to hit, that you're not going to see, and, you know, things can go wrong. But even, you know, times like this, where it's a lawn where I'm mowing all the time, I'm mowing on a weekly basis, it shouldn't be so bad. You still have momentary lapses of judgment on your area. And, you know, here I am, season 17, and now, you know, for some reason decided that I could mow over this, you know, branch that was in the lawn that I thought I could clear. And, you know, instead of going around it or trying to move it or whatever the case may be. And which is what I should have done. And instead, you know, here I am. Now I'm going to have to deal with, you know, a bit of a setback in not being able to use the mower until I get the shear pins and stuff. But the point is that you got to just, you know, not beat yourself up over it. Sometimes things are your fault. Sometimes they're not your fault. Maybe, you know, stuff happens. I remember losing a day years ago, when I was mowing lawn, parked my truck and trailer, came back, and, you know, the side of the truck looked like it got sideswiped by somebody. And, the interesting thing is the way it was parked. I was, parked on the side of the street I was parked on, that I was supposed to be parked on, but it was also dead center to a driveway. And I guess, you know, found, you know, after some time and stuff, figured out that it was the person backing out of the driveway that smashed into the truck, and then they just took off. They didn't stay or leave a note or anything like that, and, you know, had to phone the police and figure that out, because it was like, this is kind of strange that, you know, the truck got hit here. It's not like a super busy road or anything. It's just like a quiet residential street, and it looks like, you know, whatever hit it came from that driveway. So I don't want to move the truck because it's like evidence, right? I don't want to move the truck. I want it to be exactly where it was when it got hit, so that you can see that, yeah, like it came from that driveway. So, you know, I spent a long time, because it wasn't a rush. It wasn't an emergency or anything like that. So it was very low priority for the police. So I had to spend a few hours waiting for them to finally arrive, and then they did arrive, and they agreed that, yeah, that would looks like it was hit from somebody backing out of that driveway and stuff. And over time, they did confess to doing it after the police kind of questioned them on it. And they did confess that, yes, it was them backing out of the driveway that hit it. And I tried to say that, it shouldn't have been me parking there. But anyways, stuff like that happens. And, there's going to be days where you lose work, that you're not going to, things aren't going to go as smoothly as possible. And you're going to have things that happen one after the other. And that, seemingly seems like, like with me, it was that morning, planning, a great day, planning a great morning. I'm going to get drone footage, going to get all that. And it started right away with, oh, the batteries are dead. The drone is not working, even though I put it away with fully charged batteries and stuff, but it had been months. So that was the first kind of downer of the day. And then go into, not being able to use the thing and the property being like the perfect conditions for drone footage, which was a huge bummer. And then going to the next property and then, getting a third through that large lawn and having, this happen with the shear pins and stuff like that. I was like, ah, man, just one thing after another. Okay, you know what? Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Just load it up. Go get the turf tracer, come back and then, go on to get the turf tracer. And then it was like, they always say stuff happens in thirds. Stuff happens in threes. So I was like, okay, well, the drone batteries were the first, the shear pins were the second, and then now wasting a whole bunch of time going to every gas station has a lineup of people was like the third thing. I was like, there it is. There's the third thing that is, getting in my way of getting this job done. And, a part of me was thinking like, is this like an omen? Like, should I not go and finish this property? Is like another tree going to fall while I'm there or something? Is the universe trying to tell me something like not to continue on this property? But, I persevered and went anyways, and the rest of the lawn went smoothly with no issues, mowing, the rest of the lawn and getting it all done pretty quickly as well. I was just booking it through the rest of the lawn on the sulky with the turf tracer to get it done, and was able to finish it up, come back home, unload everything, unhook the trailer, and was able to unwind we left that evening a couple hours later to the recreational property, headed to the United States. Everything went smoothly and was able to then unwind for the weekend, if you can call, cutting firewood and chopping firewood and stuff unwinding. Anytime I'm in the forest, I am, that's my my happy place, my zen place, to be in the forest, out in nature, to be there relaxing. So, it was a good weekend. Hopefully you guys all enjoyed your weekend. And hopefully this story kind of sticks with you. If you have sort of a goof up moment of yourself where you do something that you should have known better or anything like that. The important thing to remember is that we're all human and we all make mistakes, even though, you do stuff over and over again. You've done it a million times. It's always best to, just kind of take that extra time. We always have times where we're tired, we're maybe not paying as much attention, whatever the case may be. And stuff happens. But, the important thing is, when hopefully nobody gets hurt in those situations. And you just adapt and you move on. You get on with it and, always remember that, it's like I always say, when you go through those rough times, just to recognize, as Jim Rohn would say, that it's winter time. That, all those bad times in your, some of them are, obviously not going to compare to other times. Sometimes you're going to go through some really bad stuff, health problems, financial problems, stuff like that. Sometimes it's just minor inconveniences like I had with the mower going down and doing something, you know, that was preventable, that I should have known better, but tried to risk anyways. And, you know, it didn't work out for me. And I have to now deal with those consequences of repairing, you know, the mower to get it back up and running to be able to continue with that. But just remembering and recognizing that it's winter time, that it's a winter time, so to speak, in your life, in that period of time, and that spring always follows winter, that there's always good days ahead. Always look to tomorrow for a fresh new start and going on it again in your lawn care business. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.